Hello and welcome to Deconstructed Cardiology. My name is Gaurang Vaidya. I'm a heart failure cardiologist. Today's topic is about marijuana and why is it such a hot topic these days. I have here with me Kathleen, who is a pharmacist. Kathleen, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Kathleen Falkenberg. I am a pharmacist practicing here at UK Healthcare. A little bit about myself. I'm working with patients with heart failure and heart transplants for the last 6 years or so. I think this is such a hot topic right now because people are oftentimes reaching out to more herbal remedies. I think that you have a lot of people who are looking for more natural ways to treat themselves outside of traditional medications that are on the market. So I get a lot of questions about CBD and marijuana, medical marijuana, and maybe miracle marijuana, and how that can impact, I think, a lot of different things, including drug therapy, and does it impact different organ systems? And I think all these are questions that the medical community is starting to learn more and more about. So let's dive in.
Kathleen, you seem very educated about this. I'm going to ask you a personal question. Have you ever used marijuana before?
No. Absolutely not.
I'm guessing that all our audiences can expect that, you know, your comments will be fair and neutral, and we'll talk about the benefits, but also the bad effects of marijuana.
Yeah. I think, you know, as a healthcare provider, I like to put information and empower patients, and ultimately it's up to them as to what they feel like is the best for themselves. And I tried to put out their information. I think that would just be beneficial in decision making for them.
But before we get started, it's important that we point out that our statements today are not the opinions of our employers, and that our statements today are just meant for educational purposes. They are not meant to be taken as medical advice at all. So let's dive right in. And first of all, understand, when I say that people use marijuana, Kathleen, what are they actually using? What do they get when they say that they are using marijuana?
You know, I think when you think about marijuana, you have to break it down into what are the actual compounds within marijuana. So you have two substances that we traditionally think about are THC and CBD. And so when you think about the psychotropic effects of marijuana, that's going to be really more of your THC component. When you think about your CBD, so that's really going to be more of your anti-inflammatory effects. The medicinal component is going to be driven more from the CBD, from what we currently understand. Of course, doesn't have any of the psychotropic effects that you get from THC.
That makes sense, Kathleen. There is so much more to learn. When a person walks into a dispensary in a state that where it is legalized, and from what I understand, there are about 37 states that have legalized marijuana or medicinal use of marijuana. When a person walks into a dispensary, what does a person actually get in terms of marijuana?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as of now, the medical dispensaries are not being regulated by the FDA. And kind of going back to those two different substances that I was mentioning before, where you have CBD and you have THC, those are going to hit actually two different receptors. So not only do you have a difference in the amount and percent of CBD versus THC, that's going to vary across the different products, but then the growing conditions, it's not currently regulated by the FDA or any sort of authorities at all. And so the type of plant that you get, the different concentrations of those substances within the plant and how that varies versus, and even within the plant in and of itself. So the plant is actually a really large plant, and it's larger than, you know, tobacco, so you can see it and grow up to 5, 6, 7 feet tall. But whether or not you're harvesting the stalk versus the leaves versus the flower, so the flower is actually where you're going to get sort of the most concentrated chemical component. And when people say they're using hashish or hash oil, that's going to be very concentrated versus, you know, stalks and leaves, which won't have as much of the THC component or CBD component. When we're chemically synthesizing different compounds like we do with our drugs. So for that, then you can use the structure and synthesize that chemically. But here we're using all natural substances, and so things that are grown organically out in nature, and that's inherently going to vary from farm to farm, from plant to plant, from, you know, and so then you get it into a different place that it's going to be sold. And of course, they have different flavors and processing and whatnot. And so it really can be quite variable as to what you're actually getting when you walk into a place to purchase marijuana. And then, of course, too, you have a variety of different options. So if you want to smoke it, if you want to, you know, have buy a gummy, you know, and the way that the percent of cannabinoids that are present within what you're purchasing and how you're going to consume it can ultimately impact how much exposure your body's getting. So if, for example, you're inhaling it, you'll get a higher impact to the body. So you know, it's got a higher, we call it a bioavailability. If you're, you know, a pharmacist or used to hearing those terms, what that means is that you are regularly absorbing more of the product versus if you're orally ingesting it, you're absorbing a smaller percent of the product. It takes the body time to process it. And so when you start to feel those effects can be different too, depending on the different routes that you're ingesting it.
So in short, the purity and the efficacy of the agent varies and depends on various factors, including how the plant is grown, to how is it harvested, what part of the plant is harvested, how is it purified, what agents are used, how is it sold, and also how is it ingested. So Kathleen, in this discussion, what role do these hemp products that are available commercially, how does that tie into this current discussion?
People go out and buy hemp-based lotions, and they're very worried that they're going to get drug tested at work and say, oh gosh, you know, but I bought this new hemp product. You know, I thought this was going to be beneficial for my skin. Can I still use it? Yes. I mean, hemp is really more of the textile component. It's not going to have any of, it shouldn't come back positive unless you're slathering yourself and covering yourself in saran wrap or something. But if you're just using it as a lotion, then I can't imagine it coming back positive on a drug screen. But I mean, we could talk, I feel like, for a long time about the different types of products that are out there. I think there's lots of different patient populations that are really interested in.
So I think this would be a good place for us to switch gears and talk a little bit about the beneficial effects and the potential application of these agents.
One of the largest populations that I've kind of known to be more interested in sort of herbal remedies is the oncology population, so the cancer. You know, sometimes they have very limited medications that they can use to treat or to feel better, and so they go out and they explore different herbal supplements or other homeopathic remedies.
So I think it's important that we also differentiate medicinal versus the recreational use of marijuana. What products are there for medicinal use, and what do people get when they use recreational marijuana?
Yeah, so if you are buying it for medicinal purposes, for example, if you have an indication like cancer and you have pain associated with cancer and you're able to purchase that, or you need to be able to have an appetite stimulant and you want to use marijuana for those reasons, you're still, I think, obtaining it from a legally authorized dispensary versus if you're using it recreationally, you can probably get it from anywhere. And so thinking about making sure that you're obtaining marijuana from a trusted source and not off the streets is important, because those the different substances that can be mixed in, I think, is a huge issue. And so I mentioned potency can vary even when you're buying it from a trusted source. But if you're going through an untrusted source, a source that isn't a legal source, if you're buying it off the streets or from friends, then marijuana can be laced with substances and it can be mixed with other potential toxic substances. And so I think you'd be very, very, very careful when you're going the non-legalized route and the recreational route.
That's perfect, Kathleen. So when you talk about the medicinal and the investigational benefits of marijuana, what were you alluding at?
There's lots of different, this is such a polarizing topic. And you mentioned, where do I stand on that? And, you know, I'm Switzerland. I'm very neutral about this. I don't know if a good study exists out there that looks at the either negative or positive impact of marijuana and what we call, you know, a good randomized controlled trial, which is our highest quality study. You don't have a lot of great data out there. I think the most compelling data that we have and where CBD oil can be used is in epilepsy, pediatric epilepsy. And even then, it can be very difficult to obtain. So even though we have a lot of positive studies there, it's not always the easiest to obtain it. But I think doing research on cannabis is very difficult.
That brings up a great point, Kathleen. Marijuana is still classified by DEA as a Schedule 1 drug. It's defined basically as a substance that does not have any accepted medical use. It has lack of safety data. And not just that, it is supposed to have a high potential for abuse. And you said that obtaining marijuana is really something that is difficult for research purposes. Do you think that is impacting our knowledge and our understanding of what marijuana is capable of, whether it's a good or bad thing?
Yeah, I think so. Not only is it difficult to study from a regulatory standpoint, but then making sure that you have a high quality product and then the population that you're studying it in. And then, of course, we recently just sort of went through, I think, a very highly publicized case of the oxycodone industry. And so when you're studying a substance that may potentially have addiction associated with it, you have to be very, very careful. So there's a lot about studying cannabis, which we would need to tread lightly. And a lot of people just don't even want to go that route. You know, exactly what you said, that we need higher quality studies in order to know what the benefits are and the true impact of marijuana in different populations. If I were in the drug industry, I think this would be a huge can of worms. And so trying to think about maximizing your impact and profit, I could see why this would not necessarily be the most intriguing way to study medications, especially, you know, that it's a controlled substance, a class one controlled substance. So
what I'm hearing right now is the current criminalization of marijuana is not just impacting the research or understanding of marijuana, but also impacting potentially the health of people who are obtaining it through illegal means.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, as we were discussing this earlier, you know, I think that all of us have seen by mitigating the traditional routes of studying medications or, you know, especially with marijuana, that people come up with other creative ways to obtain in a cheaper way. And ultimately that can lead to different sort of impurities within marijuana or synthetic marijuana. There's sort of a big spike in teenagers using synthetic marijuana. You know, then you have all these case studies popping up of people, young people having heart attacks. And
this is actually a great place to stop for today. And how about we resume this conversation in the next part, where we talk about what effects marijuana can actually have on the heart. So stay tuned and please check out the second part. Thank you.